You mentioned the American, innovation. I also think Americans love to roll up our sleeves and get things done. Like there's an optimism in being an American that we can solve this together. And exactly what you said, the solutions are knowable. These are solvable problems. We know that it's going to take marketing and aggressive sales and sometimes a street team, you know, going into local community organizations and churches and cafes and saying, hey, we have openings. They're going to pay you more.
That voice was Matt Fieldman, Executive Director of America Works, talking about knowable tactics every American region can use to build workforce ecosystems that give more Americans a meaningful role in meaningful work, strengthening manufacturing communities and the American Project along the way. His interview coming up next on the podcast, Manufacturing in American Century.
Welcome, Americans. You're listening to the podcast, Manufacturing an American Century, with your host, Matt Boghossian.
Welcome to this episode of the AMCC podcast, Manufacturing an American Century. We're excited today with systems leader on many fronts, Matt Fieldman. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Your official work title is Executive Director at America Works. So tell us what that is, Matt, and then we're going to talk about strengthening the manufacturing ecosystem.
You got it. So America Works is a program of the Department of Commerce through their NIST MEP branch, MEP, Manufacturing Extension Partnership. I know you've had other centers on the podcast in the past, but essentially we exist to grow small and medium-sized manufacturing. And I can get into the story of where America Works came from, but essentially I coordinate workforce efforts across the entire network. I make sure that we're communicating better, we're collaborating as much as possible, and we're cooperating to both increase the number of people in manufacturing and to increase the skills of our current manufacturing workforce. So I focus on the MEP system, but all are welcome. It's a big tent, so lots and lots of people come from the community colleges, other nonprofits that play in the manufacturing space, other federal agencies outside of Department of Commerce. Everyone's welcome at America Works programming, at our webinars to learn from our resources and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot to it. And people have heard on the podcast, if they've listened to other episodes, we had Buckley Brinkman from Wisconsin. And of course, Phil Singerman, he talked about the whole MEP system, Manufacturing Extension Partnership. And if you hadn't heard those episodes, this is a longstanding federal intervention in every state in Puerto Rico, where there is a presence, federally funding these helpers, so to speak. And you're working specifically in Ohio quite a bit, right? Matt, tell us a little bit about that. Yeah,
that's correct. So I work for Magnet, the MEP covering Northeast Ohio. That's Cleveland, Youngstown, Akron, Canton, et cetera. And so I started at Magnet in January of 2015 as the VP of External Affairs. So I like to say I did everything except the actual consulting. I was overseeing our events and our media and our marketing and our legislative relations and fundraising and on and on. And so I did that through 2020. And in 2020, NIST MEP offered a grant pool specifically to strengthen the network. As you mentioned, we cover all 50 states and Puerto Rico. But oftentimes we are very, very good at helping our local clients, but not especially good at sharing what we're learning and sharing our best practices and connecting across state lines with the rest of the network. So I applied and said, what we really need is a national network focused on workforce, because everyone's struggling with workforce. We don't have enough people, and the Industry 4.0 technologies that are rapidly changing the plant floor as we speak, we have to adapt quickly our current workers to those new technologies, and we don't have a system for that. So thankfully, the powers that be at NIST MEP said, wow, that's a good idea. They hired me to run the America Works Network. That was beginning of 2020. And for the past almost 4 years, we've been building that network. So there's connective tissue amongst all the centers for a chance to learn and a chance to grow and a chance to share and a chance to commiserate as we often face the same struggles. But there's a lot of potential to continue to invest in manufacturing workforce. We know what works. We know that every state in Puerto Rico has their own best practices that they can share nationally and that should be scaled outside. So whether it's youth or adults or adult apprenticeships or reentry or second chance or hiring people with special needs, you name it, there's a best practice for it somewhere in the country. And I'm kind of that repository of those best practices. So anyone can email me and say, hey, I need a curriculum for X. Chances are I have it on file. If I don't, I will go find it. Say, hey, we really want to launch a youth apprenticeship program. Can you help me do that? And so that's exactly what we'll do. So there's a lot of potential. I cover 40 different areas of workforce. And so my job is to make sure that information is spread far and wide so everyone can learn from it.
So if you're listening to this thing and thinking to yourself, wow, this Matt Fieldman guy sounds like he's a really smart guy on workforce. Well, that's exactly why Matt Fieldman is our senior advisor for workforce at AMCC, because we're trying to really kind of make a more predictive science out of this complex system that we have. And as you know, and you've seen it on the AMCC website, and we talk about it on the weekly calls and the weekly newsletter, you know, we've identified through the best evidence that's out there, kind of six key component parts of a thriving manufacturing ecosystem. And they all need to be operating sufficiently for that region to thrive, making, you know, smarter products that solve problems. One of those big six areas is workforce, and one of the most complex ones. And it overlaps with the other ones. But we can break it out, and people like Matt Fieldman, who are like you, Matt, are systems leaders trying to unpack it. Like, what are the interventions that we need to make at the regional level? How do we team together with public and private partners to, strengthen our own region? And to your point, Matt, it's different in every region, right? Because the stakeholders are different. The historical expertise is different. So how do you talked about how you broke it out into all these different sub areas. Tell listeners how you attack the complex systems problem or challenge. Let's just say it's a challenge to be overcome for strengthening a regional manufacturing workforce ecosystem.
Sure. I think there are commonalities between different communities that many low-income workers face, regardless of where they are in the country. Things like transportation and childcare and health are universally challenging. And so we can share best practices in terms of how do you build a workforce program that specifically attracts and retains, whether it's low-income workers or people of color or women, any sort of marginalized or underserved population. There are best practices. There's a recipe on how to do it properly, and we know it and we can share it. The other way I look at it is there's really three major buckets. One is recruitment. What are the best practices in recruiting workers? And again, that's looking at underserved populations who maybe have been marginalized or forgotten about in the past, underappreciated, underestimated is one of the other terms that I've started using a lot, underestimated populations. And what partnerships are necessary to find these people and offer them this opportunity, especially in manufacturing. Then you've got upskilling our current workers. And this is really critical. We've got these nine different technologies, everything from additive manufacturing to robotics to big data and cybersecurity. We have to make sure our workers know about them, and in some cases have to become really experts in some of these areas because they're very important to better, faster, cheaper processes for making the stuff that we need. And in addition to upskilling, we're also looking at the soft skills, things like leadership development, supervision skills, you name it. Those are really important to improve the quality of our workers so that they can make more stuff. And then finally, there's company-focused strategies. So what are we doing to retain workers? And so the MEP centers are going in and assessing each client, and then they're offering all sorts of different interventions to help our clients become what we call employers of choice. We want our workers to go out and recruit our next workers. When there's an opening, people are bringing their brothers and sisters and parents and cousins to fill out those openings at your company. So one of the things I have is a kind of a list of different kinds of assessments. So centers don't have to create one from the ground up. They can take an existing template and use it. That also includes things like peer roundtables. So getting CEOs or HR professionals in the same room, talking to each other, sharing each other's sharing challenges and opportunities and solving each other's problems, and everything like succession planning and employee ownership. Some of these new strategies that we really need to be thinking of, because our companies are changing and we need to be on the forefront and skating to where the puck is going. So those are a couple of ways that I think about it. And while I try to tailor everything to the uniqueness of that local community, what clusters industry-wise are there, what kind of workers might they be able to go and reach out to, there are also these best practices that are really national and can work anywhere.
Yeah, and it underscores, you know, not being intimidated by the scope of the challenge, right? And you definitely are not. And most of the folks that are a part of AMCC are not. How do you motivate folks to get out of their silo, to participate in this, you know, whatever basket you're talking about, you know, the especially the first one, right? The recruitment, you know, increasing the participation into this zone. You know, how do you motivate people to do that? Because you see that across the country, right? The challenge of motivating more people into, you know, this future for America, which we need to excel in. What's your take on how best to do that? Yeah.
So a few things. When I'm talking to economic development professionals like myself around the country, I put them on my email list, and that email list has grown from 0 4 years ago to almost 1,000 people today. And it doesn't matter what sector you're from. If you want to be on the America Works email list, just let me know. But the idea is, here's a list of opportunities. Here's a menu of different things that are going on. Pick what interests you. Pick what you want to learn about. So it's, as I mentioned, it could be things like recruitment, could be things like upskilling, it could be more company-focused strategies. I try to put together a really diverse menu so people can pick and choose what interests them most or where their community needs to go, that sort of thing. So that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, you know, we talk about the crisis a lot, and it's a real crisis. We have a real lack of workers, and we are competing against every other industry out there for what is a much smaller generation between Gen Z and millennials. We have many, many fewer people coming into the workforce, and we have to outcompete the other industries out there. So this is a real crisis, and I think people are very motivated by understanding that that person is going to fill a job. It could be in your company or in your industry, or it could be somebody else's industry. Chances are that your manufacturing job has a better career path, pays better salaries, has more opportunities for growth, both within the company and long-term. So why not get your company out there? Why not get your opportunity out there so that people can find it, people can do it? It's a heck of a lot of better job than fast food or retail or those sort of things that are going to be quickly automated or just dead end. So that's what we kind of push. And that's our strategy, is to say, you know, there's a real meaning behind this work that we're doing. So think big and understand that time is not on our side. There's a fierce urgency of now. We have to get out there. We have to get people. One of the things I think about is you look at the news, and it's pretty clear that our military is going to be called on more and more to defend this country and to defend our interests overseas. And so we need more military stuff. When I hear that the Navy has to postpone the launch of a new submarine by 2 years, that's really upsetting. When you hear that NASA is struggling for workers and it's not able to launch the satellites that are really critical to research and scientific advancement. So again, time is not on our side. We are seeing the effects of not having enough manufacturing workers in inflation and the headlines. We don't have enough artillery shells. Our partners overseas desperately need them, and we can't provide them. And so we have some real supply chain crunches going on, and we have to work really hard. And us economic developers, you know, those of us systems leaders nationally, we really have to step up to the plate. We're being called upon.
Well, I'm so glad that you see it that way. And I wanted just to highlight, you know, one thing you said is the defense industry. So for those that are, you can see on the website and part of AMCC, you know, there are manufacturing is critical, but we prioritize six key manufacturing industries tethered to some analysis done about long-term American prosperity. And Matt, you're talking about one of them, defense, and there are five others: energy, transportation, agriculture, IT, and health. And so, you know, AMCC is advancing not just any manufacturing, but priority manufacturing to make smarter products that solve problems. And you're so right. We've got to skate to where the puck is going to be, and we can see where it is. And each of those six industries are critical. Let's turn now, if we can, Matt, to like some specific examples. And folks know that AMCC has these roadshow visits that we're going around the country, and we had the pleasure to visit Cleveland, and things, activities going on there. One of those things was a visit to Lincoln Electric, and there's a talent pipeline. They had a bunch of people retiring from Lincoln Electric, from what I recall. And so you were involved in the training pathway and how you worked with them to find people in the community just have these transformative training and job experiences. Talk a little bit about how that worked, and how, in the context of how other companies can tap into people that live in their neighborhoods already, you know?
Yeah. So it's exciting because Lincoln Electric, while they're a giant manufacturer, they really have a strong local presence, and they are a great community partner for trying out all the crazy ideas that my colleagues at Magnet have about reaching new populations and helping retain them when they get the job and join the Lincoln Electric team. So we've done everything from a youth apprenticeship program that they are a key employer on. That's called the Early College or Early Career Program. It places inner city Cleveland kids at local manufacturers to experience manufacturing careers, with the idea that they graduate high school with work experience, credentials in manufacturing, and ideally a job offer from where they've been working. And that employer can then not only gain from the productivity of that new and young worker, but cultivate them for many years to come and pay for their college and their further education, so they become an even more productive worker over the years to come. So Lincoln Electric saw the value in the Early College, Early Career Program from the very beginning, and typically has between 15 and 20 students working there. That's just one example of a pipeline program. We also, my colleagues at Magnet are piloting a new program with them that involves a local nonprofit called Towards Employment that has a lot of job coaches on staff. And the idea is to coach and support new workers so they make it. And they not only pass 90 days, but I think through the first full year of employment, they're supported. And they have a job coach to talk about any issues outside, any extracurricular things that they're facing, as well as any on-the-job things that they could use help in. Hey, I had a bad day with my supervisor. How should I approach that moving forward? Or, hey, I've been late for 3 days. What should I do? Those sort of things are really critical. And having someone in your corner is a really nice thing. And they're just one of, dozens and dozens of companies that are really investing in their workforce nationally. And so wherever I can, I hear about these companies, I capture them in my database, what programs are working, what can we learn from their approach, and just trying to catalog that for others. So, when you say, hey, where are there great youth apprenticeship programs in the country? I can very quickly say, not only here in Cleveland, but lots of different other cities as well. And everything from Florida and Georgia, Northwest Pennsylvania has a great one. Pittsburgh has a great one. So there's just a lot of potential to turn these, what we call stories, into systems. So these great stories of one employer that does a really great job, let's figure out how we can systematize that. Let's figure out how we can, scale that up and think through it in a bigger way. So that's my job.
I love it. Stories into systems. Yeah, I remember that. And that was part of your conference that you had in Ohio when we went to visit. Tell us a little bit about another constituency, right? So, for those in AMCC, kind of our North Star is sustainable development, which means economic prosperity for sure. But it also means DEIA, and it also means environmental sustainability, and it also means national security. So those four elements of sustainable development. Let's talk, accessibility. We got a nice tour of the Jürgen, fasteners company, and there was a program we learned about there, and subsequently, and I believe you're on the board of it, is the Uniquely Abled. So talk a little bit about that, and just the talent that lives, you know, in every one of our communities that is untapped.
Yeah. That's right. So through this work, I got to know the Uniquely Abled Project. They are a nonprofit that focuses on training people with autism for what was CNC machining and has and continues to be, but also now encompasses robotics and potentially some other new fields as well. But they are in, I want to say, well over a dozen cities nationwide. They partner usually with community colleges using the existing equipment that's found at the community colleges, and they engage people with autism to come and learn the CNC skills. They have an almost 100% placement rate of these graduates into CNC jobs, and that's been really exciting. So when we went to Jürgen's, Jürgen's is a very entrepreneurial employer, meaning they actively go out and create partnerships with nonprofits that will provide people, and Jürgen's will provide the jobs and the coaching and the salaries and the whatever else they need to make it on the plant floor. So they're a second chance employer. They're very proud of the number of formerly incarcerated people that they employ. They also have a van load of people with special needs that arrive every day to learn job skills, to work in the company. And many of them are offered jobs once they complete that program. So we really want to see these sort of things scale. Uniquely Abled Project, I'll give you a quick example. So as part of the America Works program, at one point we had some money, I hope it comes back, where we funded 23 different innovation grants around the country. Try something new in your local ecosystem where the MEP Center says, hey, there's a gap that we could fill. We want to try it out. So I'm really proud of Northwest IRC in Northwest Pennsylvania said, hey, we really want to try this Uniquely Abled Project. We've heard good things. So they brought it to that part of the country through the innovation grant, which was only $10,000. It's not a lot of money to help move the needle. But this $10,000 paid for Uniquely Abled Project to launch with one of the local community colleges. And that has worked out so well that it's now at three different community colleges in Northwest Pennsylvania. I mean, they love it and they're expanding very, very quickly. So we can see that innovation requires just a small amount of money. We had 22 other pilots that were all very interesting. We learned a lot. We got to try out new technologies and new partnerships. And so we captured those lessons, and now we can spread them. And so when someone says, hey, I really want to try out this new technology, do you know anything about it? I can say, hey, we actually funded two pilots with it. It didn't work out the way they say that it would. Or, hey, this is the next best thing to slice bread. Go for it. You should try it. And then let me know. You know, I make sure to follow up on these new things, in a month or 3 months or 6 months to say, hey, did that work? Because whatever you did, I need to learn from, and I need to spread that learning nationally.
Can you talk a little bit about what's obvious is you have a very kind of a scientific attitude to attacking this complex systems change, really. Systems change is what we're working towards sustainable development. And you're talking about best practices. Well, some of those practices don't work very well, but you're very upfront about that. Yeah. In kind of a scientific way. Can you talk about the importance of falling forward, being willing to try and fail in a world that oftentimes doesn't deal with failure very well? Talk about that, the importance of having the courage to move out in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big innovator. I love trying new things. It's very clear that what has gotten us to this point in workforce development is not going to get us to the next point. I've also been very privileged to go to Germany five different times to see how workforce is done there. I was excited to take you, Matt. And we got to see how adult apprenticeships are done in Germany, and they're kicking our butts. I mean, they have an aligned system, an integrated and cohesive system that takes a much, much smaller workforce than what the United States has and produces almost as much as we do. I mean, it is just very clear how their investment in workers has paid off. And so we have to try new things because where we are is not going to help us compete with China and Japan and Germany in the future. So I mentioned those innovation grants. They were really fun, and some of them failed spectacularly, but we learned a lot. And I thanked the center for going down that path and trying it. And you know, it's never a waste of time. It turned into nothing that could be nothing that really helped people on the ground, but we learned a valuable lesson. These are good partners. These are not good partners. These are good technologies. These are not good technologies. And so we could draw some real conclusions. You know, anecdotes are wonderful. They're heartwarming, and they get you feeling all the feels. But we're talking about millions and millions of workers that need jobs in this country. And so we have to approach things in a very scientific, very methodical way. Certainly, our funders want that. So you know, part of this comes from, how are you going to report this back to your funder at the end of the day? And so you have to, the funders are demanding metrics, and we need to be able to provide them. And I love that about the MEP system as well. If people don't know this about MEP, we are held accountable to very specific metrics from the Department of Commerce, and our clients report on how our interventions went. It's not us and not any third party. It is the clients themselves reporting through an unbiased survey. Yes, they helped me. Here's how much money I saved. Here's how many new jobs I was able to create or retain. Here's the new sales I was able to attract. So you can, you know, the MEP system has real metrics behind it to say, here's our national impact. And that's been really powerful. And it certainly informs a lot of the work that we do as we are pushing our clients to try new things and pushing our local ecosystems to you know, continue to innovate and push farther in lots of new ways.
Yeah, turning stories into systems, and systems, right, need to be measured. And AMCC and a lot of other BFFs and private partners are working on, we've identified that we need some kind of a regional manufacturing community ecosystem metrics tool and mm-hmm. playbook. So for anyone interested in working on that, please let us know. That it needs a ton of capacity. It's an open source idea and open source tool. To get at what you're talking about, Matt, is really a higher confidence about the efficacy of the interventions that we make to the outcomes that we want to produce. We got to do what Americans do best, right, is to innovate, right? And so you're a great example of that, which is a nice segue, Matt, to talk about you a little bit. I mean, you were raised and went to school in Florida.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got so, you know, into this work. Yeah.
Sure. I went to University of Florida. I got my bachelor's degree in psychology, went to DC, went to business school at George Washington University, where I got my MBA. And I always thought I would be a fundraiser, just a nonprofit fundraiser for my career. But when I came to Magnet to do that, I saw that there was a lot of potential in raising money, but there was actually even more potential in launching new programs and learning. So, you know, my first few weeks on the job, I went to my first conference, and all the talk was on workforce. What are you doing to attract workers? What are you doing to keep them? And there was no system for connecting everyone around that. So that really planted the idea for America Works. And I was lucky that 5 years later, we were able to do it. I'm really motivated by getting people jobs. So in my free time, I was able to help start a restaurant here in Cleveland, which you've been to as well, Matt. It's called Edwin's Restaurant. It's the premier second chance employer in the culinary world nationally. I would put it up against anything else in this country. In fact, you don't have to take my word for it. We were a James Beard Award finalist in the last year. So Edwin's, the CEO, Brandon, and I worked together to get it off the ground. I've been on the board since day one. And it, as of last month, it's been around 10 years. It has 600 alumni and just a 1% recidivism rate amongst the graduates. So it's been incredibly successful in the culinary world. I then took that idea and applied it to the coding world and created a software development bootcamp in partnership with the local community college. They run Cleveland Codes to this day, over 200 alumni, many of whom find great new jobs in coding and software development. And that's been really exciting as well. And then when I came to Magnet, we started that youth apprenticeship program I mentioned, the early college, early career program. And the fundamental element is two things. Number one, it's amazing to see people light up when they have a meaningful job, when they have a reason to get up every day, something they feel proud about with their families, with their friends. So that's amazing. Like, we all get so much purpose out of our work. And I just firmly believe that we should all have that joy and the dignity of work. That's number one. Number two is the recipe was the same for all of these programs. And we need to make sure that recipe is spread. And it's really simple. It's three elements. Number one, you have to give people a vision of their future in that industry. In culinary, it's very, very easy. People know what bartenders do. They know what waiters do. Manufacturing, it's a little more challenging because not everyone knows what a CNC machinist does or what a plastic extrusion molder does. You know, that's a little more challenging. But if you can give people the vision, then you can move on to the next thing, which is giving them the hard skills. And that's, again, hands-on, get people to, you know, working on the machines, working in the kitchen, wherever it is, get them the skills they need. And finally, along the way, you have to give them tremendous support. The first hire at Edwin's was not a waiter or a bartender or whatever. It was a case manager, someone on staff to help our students deal with everything they were dealing with outside of the restaurant. And we can tell you endless stories about, you know, finding out that students were homeless and needing to find them housing, you know, that night, or finding out that students were in dangerous situations and they need to move out immediately, and just showing up and helping students, you know, move all their furniture out of a dangerous environment. So there's a million different ways that people need to be supported, and that has to be baked in. So between the vision for success, the skills to get there, and support along the way, those are the three critical elements. And I just want to see other programs use them and think through them right up front so they can launch successfully.
That's fantastic. And that was a wonderful restaurant. And it exemplifies, I think, the method can be applied to all kinds of industries, right? You know, and yes. So this is knowable. And it seems, you know, that you hear a lot of negativity out there just because of our media and social media and about making systems change. But it's exciting to see that there are... there are a lot of positive things happening, and that we can put together playbooks so that each of us can have a more meaningful role in meaningful work, whatever industry. Yeah,
please. You mentioned the American, innovation. I also think Americans love to roll up our sleeves and get things done. Like, there's an optimism in being an American that we can solve this together. And exactly what you said. The solutions are knowable. These are solvable problems. We know that it's going to take marketing and aggressive sales and sometimes a street team, you know, going into local community organizations and churches and cafes and saying, hey, we have openings. They're going to pay you more. You know, it's a conversation I have with every Uber driver. Do you like this? Are you thinking about making more money? Do you want a job that has better hours, you know, or where you have something at the end of the day that you can point to and say, I made that. And so, you know, that's the sort of thing it's going to take is, a real, you know, stick-to-itiveness, a real embracing of the grit that it takes to launch a new workforce program. Roll up your sleeves, talk to everyone, have the program ready to go, and have the support there. And again, these are solvable problems, and I think that's why I like working in workforce so much. Is it's easy to see where we are and where we need to go and the steps to get there.
Awesome. Matt, I'd be remiss if I didn't highlight an example that we saw firsthand. Can you tell a little bit about the location, the building that we visited there at Magnet?
Sure.
Because that is the combination of this optimism, innovation attitude, but rolling up the sleeves. Because I think purpose and place in place matters a lot. And so this is... Showing it in action in a real community where there's all kinds of wonderful resources that help people find more meaningful roles and meaningful work is fabulous. And yeah, go ahead. Talk about that, yeah.
Magnet has a spectacular new facility envisioned by our CEO, Ethan Karp, and really executed by my colleague, Leah Epstein. So that combination of vision and execution is fabulous. We took over an old school, had been abandoned for several years, put $18 million into renovating it. Really, the whole community came out, government grants and philanthropic grants from our big manufacturers and the community foundation. Everybody got behind it to say, you know what, we're going to build this together. Manufacturing is the heart and soul of Cleveland, and we're really going to invest in it. And such that it has a huge name, it's the Magnet Manufacturing Innovation Technology and Job Center. It's got this ridiculously huge name, but it actually is doing all of that. So there's places for innovation as it relates to products and processes. Magnet has about 20 engineers on staff who can go into a company and help them make their products better, faster, and cheaper. They can use our equipment. We have just beautiful, amazing, everything from CNC, the 3D printers, and everything in between to create either the equipment that you need or the new product prototypes that you need. We have a whole prototyping center and a whole team working with startups. So that's the innovation side. The technology side, we have a robot in the atrium for the minute you walk in, an industrial robot that knocks over a welcome sign and then puts the letters back together to spell welcome again, and also a drink serving robot, which is pretty awesome. So you get to go up and put in your order and the robot will get you drinks. And then there are lots of other cool technologies as well, just meant to show off. This is not dark, dirty, and dangerous. This is the way of the future. This is getting to work with robots, both on the coding side and on the hardware side and all that good stuff. And then, of course, the job center.
Yeah, and talk about the neighborhood that it's in and absolutely, the playground and what you're saying to the community and who's in the community is engaged in the center. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Magnet Center is really also very much about jobs, and it's placed right very strategically. The school is in the center of the Huff neighborhood. Huff neighborhood's really only known for the Huff riots. It has been historically underserved, historically poor for a very, very long time. And we not only wanted to create this building, but create something that added to the community. So it has a STEM-focused playground that is absolutely out of this world. There's a mural overlooking the playground that's enormous, featuring Black innovators. I think 7 different Black entrepreneurs and manufacturing innovators that you may never have heard of before. Just showing that again, you know, the contribution of the Black community to manufacturing has been enormous, and we want to tell that story. So it's a great place for parents to bring their kids to have a really amazing, fun experience, but then also for the parents to say, this is interesting. This looks kind of cool. Maybe I'll wander in. The atrium's open. They can wander in, and they can interview, you know, to get into our job programs right there on the spot. And we have adult job programs, and we have youth job programs, and we have just lots and lots of ways to take people from interest to real jobs and everything in between. So it's a wonderful place to go hang out. I like to say it's like a high-end hotel had a baby with a high-end robotics factory. And those two are kind of blended in this one space. And it's a great place to work. It's a great place to show off, great place to host events. And I'm excited that our next fireworks conference will continue to be there. That's the workforce conference. It's every June. It'll be in late June. And we'll bring probably over 100 people from around the country to talk just manufacturing workforce in this space. So again, if you're interested, please let me know and I'll get you the dates and the information. But the goal is let's bring the best and brightest from around the country, including as far away as Hawaii and Alaska came, which has been really cool. So get them in the same room. Let's talk about where we can partner and let's keep the conversation moving forward.
Another great example, Matt, of you turning stories into systems. Tell folks a little bit about how they can get in contact with you. So you're executive director of America Works. You're also a senior advisor at AMCC for Workforce. So you can get to you through the AMCC website. But tell us how we can do it more directly.
My email is very easy, mfieldman, F-I-E-L-D-M-A-N, at manufacturingsuccess.org. You can hit me there. You can find me on LinkedIn, anywhere, you know, anywhere you can find. Be careful what you click on for Googling America Works. We don't have a great external facing website. So, you know, the program itself is based on the Magnet website. And so you can read more about it there. But basically just reach out to me, and I love to to dive deep, and I love to create new partnerships. One of the roles that I play is kind of building external partnerships as it relates to workforce with other players in the sandbox, because we know that MEP is just one of many. They're great nonprofits that are doing really important work. Obviously, the community colleges are doing tons of training. There are other federal agencies that play in the space. So we all need to get together around the same table. So I'm happy to be a clearinghouse, probably not the only one, and to bring my network to really integrate it with the AMCC national network and vice versa, because you can get so much. And again, you know, whether you're in Arkansas or Alabama or Alaska, you can pick what looks good to you. And whether your local industry makes potato chips or computer chips, you know, you guys come to us and you'll have this menu of opportunity and you'll figure out what works best for you.
Matt Fieldman, Executive Director of America Works. Thanks for being on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks for the great work AMCC does. Matt and David, I really appreciate all that you do and look forward to continuing to be a partner many years to come.
That's for sure. Thanks, Matt.
You can learn more about AMCC and joining our weekly mailing list at americanmcc.org/subscribe. If you're a manufacturer, economic development professional, workforce and trading person, capital provider, or work in any field critical to American manufacturing, send us a note. We'd love to hear about progress from your part of the ecosystem and join us on our Monday calls. The next episode of this podcast, Manufacturing in American Century, will be coming out soon. So in the meantime, spread the word by sharing about AMCC and the podcast on your Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Manufacturing in American Century is available on Spotify and all major podcast platforms. Thanks for our production partners, AMCC Operations Director David Van Sicklin and Mr. Mike McCallum from Podcasting for Associations. That's it for now. I'm Matt Bogosian with you, Manufacturing in American Century.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.